It's the Dad in a Rock podcast. This is Sean.
And this is Chris.
Join us every week as we give you the dad's point of view on pop culture.
And stumbling our way through fatherhood. Dad jokes.
Star Wars.
Streaming.
Tech news.
Movie news.
Listen to lifelong pals tell stories from past and present.
Cruise with us into the cheesy every week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and other podcast platforms.
And as always, find past episodes and links to our social media pages on dadinarock.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of My Drunk Movie Theater. I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And we're being joined by my lovely wife, Crystal. Say hi, Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
All right. You'll have to excuse her. She's already about three sheets to the wind. So
I'm only like 2.5 sheets, okay?
It doesn't take much with you. So anyway. All right. So last week we talked about the HBO Max Warner Brothers bombshell. I wanted to tell a story from last night, but I don't care about it anymore, other than I tweeted about it last night. Anti-maskers be damned. You're all morons. Anyway, moving on.
I second that motion.
Thank you. And she's a nurse, so she can say that. So
yes, I can.
So, the HBO Max fallout. Of course, we voiced our opinion on it. We're not happy because of how it's going to negatively impact the theater industry. We aren't the only ones pissed off, though, because the only people, according to the New York Times, that got paid out of this deal are Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot for Wonder Woman 1984. They each got $10 million to basically help promote the movie and this this launch on HBO Max, which, fine, whatever. That's the compensation that they wanted. That's what they asked for. It's what they got. Warner Brothers, however, didn't extend the same courtesy to the other filmmakers behind the 17 movies that are coming out in 2021. So
to anyone that's listening, it's like, I don't get this. I don't understand what's going on. There are two ways that people get paid when they're either in these movies or a part, you know, directing, whatever. They get paid a fee up front. And they get paid a portion of the box office. And negotiations take place for how much both of those are. Sometimes, and this is what some of the people are upset about, is in order to, if they really want this movie to get made, and they're trying to help the budget out, they will take a reduction in their upfront pay to help keep the budget low and get it approved, in exchange for a higher take on the back end at the box office.
Right.
So those are the people that are angry because they took initially a pay cut to make sure the movie happened, and now Warner Brothers, without consulting them, just made a move that will affect how much they get paid on the back end.
Right.
So they are directly influencing the money people are taking home for these projects.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's actually something that started with, I want to say, the biggest catalyst for actors doing that was Jack Nicholson in 1989's Joker, or Batman, when he played the Joker. He took a percentage of the back-end profits and is still making money off of residuals today. It's smart. It's if you have the right feature that you're going to be in, that is the smart move to make. If you're in a movie where you don't know exactly how it's going to do as far as box office goes, you'll take money up front. But
if it's a movie that you are 100% confident is going to do really well and people are really going to respond to, but the studio is like, seems kind of expensive, one way that people may make it happen and make sure they get paid is to do what he did. Yeah. Take a little bit off initially, which you get paid initially, and add it to the back end.
Yeah.
And that way the studio feels comfortable making the movie and you still make your money if the movie does well. Well, with it going to streaming day and date, that's less money that is going to come in via the box office, which means there's less money to be passed out to everyone who gets a cut of that.
Right. Crystal, are you paying attention to all this?
I am paying attention. I think it's a shitty deal.
Okay.
Which is why they contacted Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins before Wonder Woman to make sure they were on board, and which is why they were able to negotiate a deal instead. They're like, yeah, we can do that, but I'm still going to get paid.
Right.
Okay, cool. Well, then Warner Brothers was like, well, we want to do this for the rest, but we can't pay everybody this money, so we're just going to do it and not tell anybody.
And that, my friends, is how you piss off all your talent, and then you get no good stuff coming out of anywhere.
And I guarantee you there will be lawsuits.
There's already one in the works, I'm sure. So the folks over at Legendary Pictures, who have done titles such as Pacific Rim, I think they did Krampus, more recently, they've done the entire Dark Knight trilogy. I'm fairly certain.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So, they've got some clout. Legendary Pictures does. Their next two big movies that are coming out are Dune. And did I say Matrix 4 when I was telling you about this earlier? Or
I think so.
No, sorry. Kong versus Godzilla, or Godzilla versus Kong. That's the other one.
Yeah.
So Legendary Pictures is working together, is looking at legal action against Warner Brothers over this, which gets messy and expensive. And if you are a studio or a multimedia conglomerate, AT&T, Time Warner, take note. It gets expensive, and it's not going to be good for your bottom line, even more so than just pushing the movies back.
Well, another layer to this, another reason that people are kind of pissed, is there's rumors that Warner Brothers didn't shop around for streaming services on who to sell it to.
Right.
That they just automatically sold it to HBO Max because they own HBO, or a portion of HBO Max, I guess. And they want to encourage new subscribers to HBO Max. So instead of shopping around and getting the max price for their product that they could have, they just sold it to themselves.
Exactly.
To help themselves out at the cost of literally everybody else who stands to make money off of these movies. So that's another reason people are royally pissed.
Right. So, and none more so pissed off right now than Christopher Nolan. Who has done most of his filmography through Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. I think Memento and The Prestige are like the two outliers, but beyond that, the Batman trilogy, or the Dark Knight trilogy, you've got Insomnia, you've got Dunkirk, Interstellar, Tenet being the most recent one. The guy has had a lot of pull over at Warner Brothers. And when he is sitting there and comes out, and I quote, some of our industry, when he comes out and says this, you know you fucked up. So, quote, some of our industry's biggest filmmakers and most important movie stars went to bed the night before thinking they were working for the greatest movie studio, and woke up to find out they were working for the worst streaming service. Warner Brothers had an incredible machine for getting a filmmaker's work out everywhere, both in theaters and in the home, and they are dismantling it as we speak. They don't even understand what they're losing. Their decision makes no economic sense, and even the most casual Wall Street investor can see the difference between disruption and dysfunction. He goes on to further say, it's a unilateral decision that the studio took. They didn't even tell the people involved. You have these great filmmakers who work with passion and diligence for years on projects that are intended to be feature films with fantastic movie stars. And they've all now been told that they're a loss leader for a fledgling streaming service. I've never seen everybody so upset about one particular decision. It's not right, and it's not a good business decision. It's all a bit of a mess. Say what you will about Christopher Nolan. You can call him pretentious. You can say, you know, his fanboys just overhype his movies, whatever.
I saw someone on Twitter compare him to Lars Ulrich and the whole Napster debacle.
Right.
And they said that he's coming off kind of like him. Probably right, but looking like an asshole. Like, okay, I'm sorry. You think people not getting paid for their work and being upset about it is being an asshole?
Right. Yeah.
Can you imagine if you showed up to work and someone and your boss was like, so I'm going to pay you half of your normal salary today. We're
yeah.
Just because we need
but
to save some money. You're going to do the same workload. Everything's going to be the same, but you're just going to get paid half of what we owe you.
Exactly.
What do you mean you're upset? Why are you being such an asshole about this? Just go to work. No, you'd quit.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what's going to happen. Crystal, did you want to chime in here?
I mean, I got not much to say.
Okay. We'll get to you when we get to our next segment.
I'm just listening.
Okay. So she's here. She's just not here.
I'm here.
She's listening.
I'm not a lot of wine, which is a problem.
She's listening and she's learning.
There you go. That's like having our own little live audience member here on the podcast. It's great. So like I said, you can say whatever you want about Christopher Nolan. You can say it about Tarantino. You can call them pretentious dicks. You can call them what you will. You cannot argue that they're wrong at this point.
Yeah.
Because they're not. Like, these deals were all negotiated and all signed in ink. They are hard set contracts. And it's one thing for you to call up Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot and say, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing, can we renegotiate? Can we make this right for you all? It's one thing to do it for one person, but not everybody else.
I was mildly annoyed at the Wonder Woman announcement, but I understood it and I accepted it. And I accepted that it was the right thing to do at this point in time.
Right.
And I, like I've said before, if they would have said, hey, we're going to do this for the first, 3 months of next year, and then we'll reevaluate, that I would have been like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about the entire next year, we don't know where we're going to be by the time Dune comes out next December.
Yeah.
What happens if everything's back to normal by next year? And then you've just shot yourself in the foot and pissed off half the industry for nothing.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was saying last week. Short-term gains for long-term losses. Yes, you're going to get you're going to get subscribers. We're not going to kid ourselves. This is going to bring in subscribers. The casuals that don't know any of this and don't care. Unlike us who are going to sit there and go, "No, that's not right. Let me reconsider my subscription with you."
These are dudes that are only concerned with Warner Brothers' bottom line. They don't care about theaters. They don't care about filmmakers. They don't care about actors.
Right. And I would argue this is probably not a decision that's coming from the Warner Brothers CEO. This is coming from John Stankey, who is the head of Time Warner.
I mean, and his AT&T. Name says it all. He's Stankey.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's sleazy. He's just like the other guy that we talked about a couple months ago that was a Disney investor saying they needed to launch everything on Disney Plus. It's like, yeah, they are. Oh my God. I just made the connection. These guys, the guys that we're talking about, John Stankey and that other dickhead, these dudes are Ellis from Die Hard. They are that guy. They are Hans Booby. Like, they are that guy.
They are.
Stand. All they care about is lining their pockets, and they don't care who gets hurt. They're only in it for number one. Which, again, I totally get, but at the same time, you have other people below you who work for you creating all these motion pictures, these television shows, all that, who sign contracts in good faith, expecting to get paid, expecting to make what they're worth, expecting that, yeah, I'm going to have essentially a huge Christmas bonus. Now, granted, their Christmas bonus is going to buy them a yacht, and I'm not going to feel sorry for millionaires, but same time, if it was me in that situation, say we went to work at the theater and we were counting on a big Christmas bonus this year, and they said, Jelly of the Month Club, that's your membership this year. Like, out of nowhere, like, that's what you're going to get. Yes, we're going to be doing
Christmas. How many Christmas movies can we reference in a single podcast?
I don't know, but if I could
we're up to two.
If I could set up a paint can to sling into John Stankey's face right now from the top of the steps, I would. That's three, so let's keep going.
And to anyone listening who's like, what do I care about this? They're all rich. Not everybody.
No.
I mean, you'd be surprised how many actors aren't near as rich as you think you are. One in particular I follow, obviously not a huge, huge name, but right. Ethan Embry. I love him to death. But he has been a bit doom and gloom when it comes to the pandemic this year. But he's been very candid about him freaking out about, I need to get back to work. Like, I I can't afford to just sit here for an entire year and not work.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I don't have that kind of money. I need to work. We need to get this under control. I need to go back to work. That's the reality for a lot of these actors. They're not everybody's making, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars per movie. Not everybody is Robert Downey Jr. Some of them are having, and who knows how long between movies, so the payday they get has to last them. And residuals, they get smaller over time.
Right.
Like, Yvette Nicole Brown was just tweeting about getting residual checks for 1 cent and being like, why did you send this to me?
Yeah.
What was the point? Like, yep. That's the reality, is that money dries up. You have to live on it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, some of them are millionaires that could just sit around for years and be just fine, but not all of them are.
Right.
So, especially some of the, you know, newer directors that are maybe getting their first chance at some of these movies next year, and now they're finding out that the money that they thought they had coming to them is going to be significantly smaller than they expected.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I said, we waxed poetic last week about how it's going to affect the theater industry, but let's be serious. This is going to turn the entire entertainment industry upside down. Yeah. You know, and especially for Warner Brothers, who has done a great job in the past of taking care of their talent, putting out quality films year after year, and constantly being in the running for certain awards and all that. Now they're not going to get that, because why would you trust them? Christopher Nolan, like I said, he's been a Warner Brother, you know,
staple
for almost two decades. And now
he's probably going to go someplace else.
He is
breaking. Like I said, how many actors and directors and who else is going to think long and hard before they sign a contract with Warner Brothers again?
Exactly. Yeah.
What I find curious to see what's going to happen is there was a lot of speculation immediately after the announcement that studios were going to take this as an okay to go ahead and do the same thing.
Right.
But now there's been such backlash against Warner Brothers. Not just from theaters, I mean, everyone expected that, but from within the industry, people are pissed.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if there's a lot of studios going to be like, no, never mind. We're going to stick with theaters. Thanks.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing, like, they piss us off. What do they care?
Right.
We're under their boot most of the time anyway, but when they start pissing off people in the industry that they need.
Yeah. That's problematic. So.
Yeah, they're hurting. They're definitely hurting their own bottom line then.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's something we had to follow up on after last week. I was just, like I said, because we did the show, and we were, obviously, if you listened to it to Warner Brothers last week, you know, go back and listen to it. We were upset. We were pissed, because, like I said, we're in a struggling industry right now, just trying to get through this pandemic, knowing that there's light at the end of this tunnel with the vaccine getting ready to launch. Mm-hmm. It's getting FDA approval today. If it hasn't already, I think it did, according to my notifications.
It got preliminary approval.
Okay, so it's on the way.
We're getting close.
Yeah. Now, granted,
they're already vaccinated in the UK, so, like, the ball is moving.
Yeah, so we are on track to get back to normal. Now, it's going to take time.
Yeah.
And it could take all of 2021. We don't know. Hopefully not. But if it does,
theoretically, it does. Once vaccines start, it's theoretically again.
Right.
Going to get better as time progresses. As
right.
more people, the more people get vaccinated, the more the cases are going to go down.
Cases should start going back down, and we should start slowly being able to return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's assuming that more than 50% of people who said that they're not going to get vaccinated, no way, no how, actually get their freaking asses to the hospital and get vaccinated, because that's a whole nother rant. Sorry.
Yeah. Again, she's a nurse. Listen to her. She sees this.
I'm sitting here like, I want to actually go on my Scotland trip I was supposed to go on this September. So if that means someone needs to stick me in the arm twice for that, for both me to be allowed out of the country and for Scotland to let me in.
Right.
You know how many vaccines you have to get when you're a nurse? I don't want to hear people's excuses about, I don't want to get a vaccine. Like, I can't even count the number of shots I've had to get being a nurse, because they stick you with everything.
Well, just think about the kids, too. Like, when we were growing up, like, how many vaccines did we have to get just being public school?
What cracks me what cracks me up is people are like, they give you like a vaccine passport. And I'm like, you mean like the little card that I got in the 90s when I was a kid to keep track of all my vaccines that I had to show the school
for them to let me in? I still have somewhere for my TB check that I have to get every few years.
Yeah.
You know, like vaccines are a normal part of, you know, modern life. They're going to change all the time. This is not the first or the last pandemic we've ever seen on this world. Like they happen. And that sucks. And I, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people died. But we have a solution now. Anyway, sorry. Back to where you were talking about.
It's okay.
Say, like I've been saying, say 6 months from now, a lot of people have gotten, the vaccine has started, a lot of people have gotten it, businesses are starting to open back up, we're allowed to actually go above 50% for the first time, people start returning to the movies, is Warner Brothers really going to still want to release it on streaming same day?
Exactly. Or so, yeah.
When they could be making, you know, are they going to want to make, you know, their $15 subscription fee for a whole family to watch it, or are they going to want to make like 50 plus bucks for them to go see it in the theater?
Yeah. Yeah. Just it's simple economics at that point. And then, like I said, those people still spending that same or that extra money buying concessions and helping out our industry and keeping those theaters afloat. That's where we're at. Like, you know,
cause, and everyone who's like, well, theater's a dying industry. No, it's not. 2019 was actually a pretty good year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Box office has been consistently trending up the last several years.
Right.
People still want to go to the movies.
Yeah. So, and after this shit's over, they will still want to go. They will go on to go more than they.
And if you think when this shit's done, people aren't going to flock to any place where they can be around people again.
Yep.
You're kidding yourself.
The theater is never going to die out, you know, unless some God, like, ridiculousness happens. I don't even know. But like, you can't kill the entertainment industry like that. People are always going to want a place to go to escape, to get out of their home, to get away from their work life. Like, that is what being human is about, is connecting with other people. And guarantee you, when counties start opening back up and saying, okay, you can go, we're going to loosen restrictions, people are going to start flocking. So it's going to happen.
Exactly.
It's already trying. And people are getting so tired of being home.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we still don't have our vaccine yet.
We had a little lady come in and to buy a gift card and was like, are you guys busy during the week? And we're like, no, like, not at all. Why? She's like, well, my kids won't let me go out, but I miss coming to the movies. So I think I might just sneak out one weekday and see if I can get away with watching a movie.
Rock on, little lady.
This lady had to have been like 70 or 80. It was adorable. She's like, oh yeah, come on a weekday. It's quiet. There won't be people. Like, but please be safe.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think that means that Warner Brothers will have financial issues next year after all of this? Because now they've said it, right? So now it's out in the open. So are they going to backtrack and say, no, we're not going to do that now, we're going to release in theaters?
I think it depends on how lawsuits go, and how, if the backlash continues, and I think it also depends on how everything with the pandemic progresses.
I think it's also going to depend too on how Wonder Woman does on Christmas Day with streaming.
That too.
Now granted, like I said last week, they actually have the upper hand over Disney in that they are not charging extra for it. You just have to sign up for the service.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how many of those people are just going to sign up for a free trial for a week if they're still doing that, or just sign up for the one month and then be done with it? That's the trick. Because you want to constantly get new subscribers, but you want to keep those subscribers. And that's where I think HBO is going to have an issue. Now,
how many casual moviegoers do you think really want to see all 17 of the movies Warner Brothers is putting out next year?
Now,
do you think they're going to subscribe to HBO Max all year?
I was gonna say, you know,
and maybe they want three or four. They're going to subscribe the month that movie comes out, and then they're going to cancel it until the next one comes out that they want.
Now, I'm sure that Warner Brothers and HBO Max, hold on, let's go back. Time Warner. Let's just go ahead and go to the corporate overlords. I guarantee you what they're hoping is that people are going to sign up and get HBO Max and watch that one movie, but then see the shitload, because let's be real, there's a shitload of content on HBO Max. There is. It's actually got one of the best libraries I've seen. So I do kind of disagree with Chris Nolan about it being the worst streaming service. However, there's so much content on there, I don't even know what to watch half the time. So I just kind of back out and go back to something I know. Or if I do go to something on there, it's something I can watch fairly easily on any of the cable networks. Yeah. South Park, Rick and Morty, whatever. But that's what they're banking on. I guarantee it. That's what they're banking on. Now, the question is will that work? That's what we're going to have to wait and see. Like I said, if they see an influx of subscribers that stay after that month that we get Wonder Woman 84, then yeah, they will stick with that plan. I honestly think there's probably going to be enough big backlash on this that they might ease back, or they're going to definitely go back and start renegotiating deals for everybody so that way everybody gets paid what they were expecting to get paid, which is going to cost them a pretty penny, which leads me to my next thing. I don't know if you saw this last night, Trisha. Warner Brothers, Time Warner, sold off Crunchyroll to Sony.
Huh.
So, Crystal,
I did not see that.
Yeah, so Crunchyroll is a streaming service that right. got rolled
for
in.
For all of you people that will be listening to this that are like me, huh?
Okay. Yeah. All right, so Crunchyroll was a streaming service. Now it's been rolled into HBO Max. I think it still is its own separate thing. Basically, it's nothing but anime content. Nothing but anime content.
That is so, like, racist, borderline racist and inappropriate.
What?
Crunchyroll.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Come on!
Okay, I get what you're saying now. You're not wrong. Anyway, so they sold off Crunchyroll last night to Sony, and I think it's specifically Funimation, which is their, like, their animated. Specific anime division, for $1.17 billion. Good for them. They just made $1 billion.
Guess and they're going to turn around and hand it all out to all the pissed off people.
Yes. So you're about to see the redistribution of wealth right there. So I saw that last night and I went, oh, that money's not going anywhere except to somebody else's pockets because y'all done goofed and people are pissed. So yeah, I know. So just a heads up, guys, we are not doing the Dune Book Club this week just because, like I said, there was a lot of news to unpack here in the last couple days. So let's get to that next bit. The next bit of big news, we've been tweeting about it. I am so fucking excited. Crystal, did I tell you about any of this? Spider-Man 3 with Tom Holland?
You did not tell
okay,
me.
Okay, so...
Oh, Lord. So much. You, so
you
much.
You about to get hyped.
My husband doesn't talk to me, y'all.
Like, I'm talking
he
to you.
He loves me, but unless we're recording, he does. That doesn't sound right.
What we do in our own time is our business, damn it.
And you.
Anyway, so Spider-Man 3 with Tom Holland is coming. Okay. They announced earlier this year that they are bringing back Jamie Foxx to play Electro from The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
To AKA Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man tenure.
Okay. All right. So we're sitting there going, what are they doing? We already know Doctor Strange is going to be in the movie. We found out yesterday that Alfred Molina, who played Doc Ock in the original Spider-Man 2, is coming back as Doc Ock.
Okay.
We found out that Kirsten Dunst is coming back.
What? As what?
As Mary Jane.
What?
We found out Andrew Garfield is coming back as Spider-Man, and Tobey Maguire is in talks to come back as Peter Parker, as Spider-Man. Live-action Spider-Verse.
As is Emma Stone.
You mean like the animated yes. Spider-Man movie that I finally got to watch that I really liked?
Yes.
It was really cool.
We're getting the multiverse.
Yeah.
Not only that, there is rumor going around that the guy that played Daredevil, Charlie Cox, that they're bringing him in. That they're bringing in Matt Murdock. They're bringing in Daredevil into this Spider universe.
My geek sense is tingling.
Oh! So excited.
Much tingling.
Trisha, I know you're excited.
Because who better to defend poor Spider-Man now that he's been outed?
Than Daredevil!
Than the warrior himself, Daredevil!
Right?
Of course Matt Murdock is going to be like, I gotta go help him.
Strange is coming, which I'm all for because I like me some Benedict Cumberbatch.
Well, so he is filming Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness right now, which is probably going to lead right into Spider-Man 3.
That would be my guess.
That's I think the plan because there's way too much multiverse.
I need them to recreate that cartoon scene of Spider-Man pointing at him.
Yes!
I need it. I need all three of them to stand in a little triangle and point at each other like, wait!
You know what would be really cool? This is what I really want. I said it on Twitter. I really want them to bring in a CGI Spider-Ham, obviously.
Why not throw John Mulaney in there?
Voiced by John Mulaney. So John Mulaney, if you're listening to this, we're rooting for you, pal.
He used to have the stutter like Porky Pig, though, because I was waiting for that the entire
time. No, you don't get that. That Spider-Ham doesn't need that. Mulaney voice.
I mean, I'd be fine with that, too.
But what I really hope they
Can
do,
you
though...
Can you talk about the horse in the hospital?
The horse is getting evicted from the hospital. Anyway. So
he got fired.
What I'm really hoping for, though, is that they will bring in Shameik Moore, who voiced Miles Morales in the End of the Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of hoping that they will bring him in to play Miles Morales in the live-action movie. That would be cool, just to have all these different Spider-Men come through. Yeah.
There was also talks about whether it was Kirsten Dunst. No, not Kirsten Dunst. Emma Stone, whether she would be Spider-Gwen or not.
Yeah. There's
stop and think which character they're playing. There's been too many Spider-Mans.
Right. Well, she is still up in the air because I think she's actually pregnant right now.
Ah.
So she may, if she does join the production, it'll be later. But yeah. Either way, still really exciting news. And let's be honest, people, if you're listening to this and you're like excited for that, do you really want to see that on your fucking 55-inch TV at home?
Right.
No, you want to see that motherfucker in IMAX. You want to see that on the biggest screen possible. Am I wrong?
No.
Seriously.
Apparently in 3D, because that would be...
Just give me all the... We'll see it in 3D. Yeah, if you're like, I don't care about the 3D. I would watch it in MX4D, though. Just because we haven't watched a Spider-Man movie in there yet. I know
depends on how long it is. Those seats hurt my back.
It's going to be a 4-hour epic because we have to fit all these Spider-Man in. We'll bring you a cushion.
As long as there's no butt pokers. I hate those things.
No butt pokers. Just a lot of twisting and turning as we fly through the streets of New York. Various cities of New York. But yeah. No, that was the big news yesterday that came out. And I think there was still more news coming out about that as
probably
the day progressed. Yeah, so that was the biggest thing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got to cover, today being Thursday, we'll drop this on Friday. So for you guys listening, yesterday, Disney had their Investor Day streaming event going on where they talked about what's coming up next. We're going to hit that here in a minute, so stick around.
Hello there. Do you like real-life historical tales? If so, have I got the perfect podcast for you? My name is Alice, and I host the Backtracker History Show. Based in the UK, this self-confessed geek takes you for a stroll down memory lane and shares stories and interesting nuggets of information that has been discovered along the way. From tales of tragedy and sadness to epic stories of human courage or creativity, there are many people in history who have made their mark, however small. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, and remember to leave a rating or review if you can. If you want to find out more, you can get in touch with me via Twitter or Facebook using @BacktrackerUK with a capital V, capital T, and a capital UK. But until then, take care, guys, and look after each other.
All right, we're back. So, Disney Investor Day. News is still coming out because Because Trisha, you just found a big Pixar announcement, which is not how I was planning to open this up with, but here we are. So I'll go ahead and let you have it.
You can thank me having a certain Marvel celebrity on alert, Twitter alert. Because that's how I found out. He tweeted. Okay.
Go ahead.
Apparently Pixar is making some sort of Buzz Lightyear movie. It says the original Buzz Lightyear, so take from that what you will.
Right.
But it's voiced by Chris Evans.
Which is a choice. And I'm not mad about it.
I'm not mad about it.
I know you're not mad about it. Jeez. But no, you showed us the still, and my first words were, it looks like a cartoon Chris Evans. Like, strong jaw, the piercing blue eyes. Like, would you disagree, Crystal?
I would not disagree.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be a really good looking Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, geez. She's thirsty. So.
But, I mean, it's been a while, but wasn't the Buzz Lightyear toy based on a cartoon?
I feel like it was.
It wasn't just a random toy that they had. Like, I feel like there was a cartoon.
Well, I know.
Or a movie, or there was. It was based off of some existing property. It wasn't just like, here's random astronaut toy.
Yeah. Which, I mean, granted, back in the day, like, Hasbro used to do that. That's how we got Transformers.
He had posters and other merch. And yeah.
So my assumption is that it's the when they say the original Buzz Lightyear, it would be like the Buzz Lightyear movie or series that inspired the toy. That would be my guess too. I don't know. Either way, that's solid casting.
The project is titled Lightyear, so.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But for the opening to start off with on today's big set of news, all kinds of stuff. Well, let's go ahead and start with the one that affects us, because we have talked about how effective releasing Mulan with the $30 charge was. I still say not very effective, because they
won't release numbers.
However, they announced today that their next animated film, that's not Pixar, it's just from Walt Disney Studios, is Raya and the Last Dragon, which is set in, like, Southeast Asia. And that one
that's been announced for a bit.
It's been announced. It's coming to theaters on March 5th. It's also going to drop day and date on Disney Plus with the premiere access. So they're not letting that go away. I feel like this might be just kind of a response that they were emboldened by the HBO Max announcement last week, and they're making this decision. At least they're giving it to theaters. Again, I'm not happy with the decision, but at least we'll have a Disney movie to play. And also, I've seen some of the initial teaser trailer for this. It looks legit. Like, looks like it's going to be cool.
It does. Yeah.
And one that you're going to want to see in theaters. So that's their decision. That's what they're going with. Not happy about it, but here we are. However, we had a bunch of other news, and they haven't even announced what the Marvel stuff is. But they announced today that they are doing for Disney Plus 10 new Marvel shows and 10 new Star Wars shows. And the Star Wars shows have started to be listed. Obi-Wan Kenobi is now officially going into production and is bringing back Hayden Christensen as Darth.
Yes!
Yeah. Crystal's here. Now my question is they say he's coming back as Darth Vader. Is he coming back like Hayden Christensen in the suit, and then we'll have moments where he's got the helmet off and we see the scars and everything? Because that would be cool. I don't know. So
however they do it, you know it's gonna be cool.
Oh, I'm sure. And like the fact that Ewan McGregor's back on board as well is already telling. But it is being set 10 years after Revenge of the Sith. So our two leads have aged a bit since we last saw them. So
yeah, but Revenge of the Sith was 15 years ago. So
it'll fit right in. Initially,
I mean, what difference does 5 years make? They've aged basically appropriately.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I'm sure that they will probably throw some more gray into Ewan McGregor's hair. But like I said, the big takeaway from this
he's got to be a little closer to poor Sir Alec Guinness.
Yes. So. Like I said, the big takeaway is Hayden Christensen. So I'm like I said, I'm intrigued. I know there's a lot of people that are going to be happy to see him. There's also going to be a lot of haters that are going to sit there and go, he can't act. And I'm going,
if he can.
Yeah, he can. Just shut the fuck up. So this isn't George Lucas writing it. He'll have decent dialogue this time. Just stop. So
only Star Wars fans would stop bullying people into quitting acting altogether.
Right?
Wait, who got bullied into quitting acting?
Jake Lloyd, who played young Anakin Skywalker in Phantom Menace.
Dude's got some bullied to the serious point. Mental health issues from all the bullying he got from Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
And kids in his own damn school.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And
so.
What is his name? Ahmad Arbery?
Yeah, tell me to lay off Jar Jar. I like Jar Jar. He's a Jar Jar Binks.
I'm not bullying the guy, but that's not one of my favorite characters by any stretch of the imagination.
He's not one of your favorite characters, but he was comedic relief. And I liked him.
Anyway, I wouldn't want the guy to be on the verge of suicide because he played a children's character.
Right.
I just wouldn't. Like, that's just not cool. So we've got that. Let's see. Trying to see if there's any notes here or quotes from nothing. There's nothing else about this. So that's all we've got is Hayden Christensen's back. Okay, so.
That's all I need to make me happy.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. And I debated how I wanted them to do it. But the fact that they said he's coming as Darth Vader, I'm going, okay.
Yeah, because there's been rumors he was coming back. And we're like, okay, is it going to be like.
Flashbacks?
There's probably be like flashbacks as Obi-Wan is like in the desert. Like he's reflecting on his time, whatever.
Yeah.
But when they specifically say as Darth Vader, it's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah. So, all right. So, back to those Star Wars shows, though. In addition to Obi-Wan, we are getting spinoffs from The Mandalorian. First one being Ahsoka, which will follow Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano. I'm excited.
Same surprise.
No, you shouldn't be. Like, that's a very popular character.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I know there's a whole set of fans, the ones that are younger than me, and specifically Abby, who we've talked about on the show, that are not nearly as excited because it's a live action show and they really want Ashley Eckstein back as Ahsoka. And I get it. And there's an attachment there. But Ashley Eckstein is supportive of this show, of this decision, and of Rosario Dawson playing the role. So I'm totally cool with it. Crystal, you were just introduced to Ahsoka Tano for really the first major time in Mandalorian. Are you excited about getting a show starring that character?
I would be stoked about that.
Cool.
I think Rosario Dawson did a great job personally, but I also never watched, you know, Clone Wars or any of that. So.
Well, now you got time to catch up.
I know, but I like.
Trisha, what are your thoughts?
I'm excited. I've only watched a couple episodes of Clone Wars so far, but
yeah,
I like her. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Rosario Dawson is always awesome.
Yeah. So the other one that was announced that's a spinoff from Mandalorian is called Rangers of the Old Republic. And it will center around Sector Rangers, a sort of intergalactic police force established by the Galactic Republic prior to the Clone Wars. So it's a cop show in the Star Wars universe. I'm in. I'm so in. And especially if it's going to be set, you know, in the prequel era. The Clone Wars era. I'm like, that's cool. I'm good with that. I still want more content set between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy, but I'll take what I can get at this point. Let's see. So that was one. We do have a new series for Star Wars called The Acolyte, which will be set during the High Republic era, which is about 200 years before the prequel trilogy. Let's see. So... who is this? Leslie Headland, who's the showrunner, she said, I would say it's in a pocket of the universe and a pocket of the timeline that we don't know much about. I kind of see if Star Wars is a religion, I like to think of my show as a tent revival. If you can come over if you want to. We're going to be talking about some cool stuff. There's going to be some things we haven't discussed in the canon yet. There are going to be some characters you don't know about. And this is going to tie into their current literature initiative, where they're doing a lot of High Republic stuff from that era. So I'm, again, curious for that.
Yeah.
Hoping it's not Game of Thrones in the Star Wars universe, but at the same time, I probably wouldn't be mad about it because laser swords and spaceships are much cooler than dragons.
Hey, whoa. No.
Ow! I'm okay.
For anybody listening, I slapped him.
I think they heard it. So, Crystal.
I like dragons.
So, Crystal, what do you think of this idea? Outside of my smart-ass comment.
Like it.
Okay. Trisha?
I'm in.
Okay. All right. Moving on. We got the Cassian Andor series. We finally got the teaser for that today. I haven't watched it yet. When I do, we'll talk about it. So, like I said, there's just too much to keep up on. I know. I'm sorry. There was so much. And there's still news coming. Like, just
you
before we came back.
You work for a living or something.
Right? We're getting a Lando Calrissian series.
Nice.
And it looks like, let's see. So the show was revealed during Disney's Marathon Investor call earlier today. I would assume, yep. I would assume Donald Glover is coming back. Oh, no. Donald Glover was not referenced whatsoever in the announcement. That's interesting. I can't think of anybody else I would want to play that part right now for a young Lando. Can you? So.
Are we getting Diego Luna back?
We are getting Diego Luna back for the Cassian Andor series. Okay, yeah, he's been tied on to that for a while now. So, excuse me. Yeah, so I'm not sure what's going on with that. We'll keep an eye on that one. But. Okay. And a Lando series, I'm cool with that, especially if we can go ahead and get back to some of those threads that were left at the end of Solo. So,
yeah.
All right. And then here's the big one. We've been talking about it all night. Patty Jenkins is set to direct a Star Wars movie coming in 2023.
Sweet.
Yes. So we don't know. Oh my God. Did you ever play Rogue Squadron, Trisha?
No.
You didn't either. Okay, so, refresher for you guys, everybody listening at home, all my video game geeks that grew up in the 90s playing N64. Rogue Squadron is basically the group of X-Wing pilots that were at one point, or led by Wedge Antilles in Luke Skywalker's absence. These guys are like the best of the best when it comes to the X-Wing fighters. That video game series and this movie is what that's all going to be about. And Patty Jenkins is doing it. And I am way more excited than I thought I was going to be. I literally just read this right now. I didn't prepare for this. So the group goes all the way back to the Battle of Yavin from A New Hope. So they've been in video games, novels, but now they're going to get their own film. I'm sorry. I'm a kid in a candy store right now. This is super exciting. Like, I just have to get over it. You video game geeks, you're gonna be pretty hyper about this too, I'm sure. So, it's due out Christmas of 2023. So we got time to work. Wait for it. Which reminds me, earlier today we did hear that. She had an idea for Wonder Woman 3, but she said she wasn't going to get to it right away. And I'm sitting there going, is this why? Or do you have time to get that done and then do this? Like, I have questions. So, let's see. So there's that. And then here's one for us to throw back on. Oh, no. But, oh, yes. I think you're going to be happy about this, Trisha. We're getting a Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movie.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was not like keen on this idea initially, but I'm like, Rescue Rangers, I'll still watch it. Like, I don't care. Especially because Chip and Dale are like our favorite Disney characters.
I mean, they are currently sitting above my head.
Right. Wait till you hear who is playing the title roles.
Oh no. Who?
Yeah, because it's not normal voice actors, and it's not going to be Corey Burton, and I can't remember who voiced Chip. Andy Samberg.
Okay.
And we keep mentioning him on this show. John fucking
Yes!
I am excited for this.
That's awesome.
Rangers movie starring John Mulaney.
John Mulaney.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah. So Seth Rogen's also got a cameo in it. But yeah, let's see. So also teased was that one of the characters went a little overboard chasing the CGI craze, which we've heard means one of the characters will be in traditional animation and the other will be in CGI. So it's going to be kind of meta. Okay. I'm in. What do you think, Crystal?
I'd watch it.
Yeah. Trisha?
Oh, I'm down.
Yeah. You're like Chip and Dale.
Chip and Dale and John Mulaney, that's all I need to know.
You know what? I'm not even mad about Andy Samberg. I really like him. And if he's playing Dale like I think he should and will probably be the CGI one, I'm totally okay with that idea. I think that's, yeah. So that one will be coming to Disney Plus in the spring of 2022. So at least.
Isn't John Mulaney's dad's name Chip?
Oh my God. Chip Mulaney? Chip Mulaney. Oh, that's hilarious.
I had to stop for a second and be like, am I imagining this?
Yeah.
Cause I was like, he needs to do his best impression of his dad the entire time.
Right. By the way, Trisha, I'm just now seeing this. We're going to have to, when we get done recording, we're going to have to go check out these trailers. We have a Loki trailer and a Falcon and Winter Soldier trailer. Yeah. Let's see if we have a release date, shall we?
There's a release date from Falcon and Winter Soldier. I've been waiting forever.
All it says is it debuts on Disney Plus next year. No date. Go figure. So yeah,
I'm pretty sure they're done filming. Just give us a date release date already.
Right. So we also found out that there's going to be an Alien TV series coming.
Okay.
So based on the Ridley Scott film. So I'll be curious to see what they do with that. There is another piece of news here, and it's been discussed for a bit. Everybody's been wondering what Disney was going to do with the more mature properties that they wound up getting out of 20th Century Fox when they bought them.
I said born. But that's not
yeah, right. Yeah. No, just because I say mature, which, let's be honest, you are not, does not always mean pornography. So titles like Kingsman, Predator, Alien, all the big R-rated films, even probably Deadpool, will be coming to Disney Plus in February under a specific tile called Star. So I would imagine that if you have kids and you don't want them to get access to those things, you could probably put a parental lock on it. But yes, it will be available free of charge on Disney Plus come February.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm kind of happy to have all those things right in one spot again. So it looks like they're trying to bulk up. One of the rumors that was going around this week was that Disney Plus and Hulu were going to merge. So it looks like this will be the alternative to that. Ripley, would you stop?
My guess is that the settings will probably default to having it blocked and you have to go in and make your account like adult friendly or whatever.
Right. So,
I mean, it is Disney. They're not going to default to having it available to anybody.
No.
They're going to default to blocking it.
Right. So yeah. So yes, Crystal, what the hell is that? I don't know. Hold on a second.
So when I paused here, we had received a knock at the door. That's what all the commotion was about. What comes next is we got a visitor from a cop, and I will just kind of let Crystal tell it from there.
Yeah, there was a cop at the door. We're not recording
right now. We are now recording, yes, because it's too interesting to not.
So a cop knocked on our door and asked if we heard anything odd from down the street, and we've been inside. I got home around 4. We've been inside most of the evening, minus a little bit of playing outside with the dogs. And no, I haven't heard any screaming. We've said, you know, we've been inside most of the night with our dogs. Like, I haven't noticed anything. It sounds like there was probably some sort of domestic disturbance down in the
Yeah.
It's hard to know. Our neighborhood's kind of loud because we have dogs, we have kids.
Yeah.
There's always somebody yelling somewhere.
What we're saying is we don't know what the hell is going on. We just know a cop showed up.
We don't know what's going on, but if there's an update, we'll keep y'all posted.
If there is a murder in my neighborhood, we will do our own true crime podcast.
Do they need a nurse? Which they don't. I know they don't. Like, they have plenty of other people that can respond to this.
And yeah.
Than I can. Also, I've been drinking, so that's probably not smart.
They don't want this particular nurse.
But I'm just like, y'all okay? Like, hug or like a cocktail? But I can hook them up.
I don't think a hug, maybe, but I don't think a cocktail is what they need right now.
I mean, I don't know. Kyle and I don't fight very often, but every once in a while, when we do a cocktail, it's kind of his.
Yeah. How do you think I deal? Anyway, so yeah. So that's all we've gotten as far as Disney news goes today.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's a lot of Disney news.
Yeah, that's a lot.
A lot. So, but yeah, I think we covered, well, as much as we could. We'll probably cover more next time.
Yeah.
But we do have to cover something else Disney related, and that's going to end our show for this week. So, That's what I'm saying. That's going to end our show this week. Anyway, so Mulan came out with the premiere access back in September. We didn't watch it. We waited until this past Friday, December 4th, when it finally came to Disney Plus, like good, sensible people, and watched it then.
Mm-hmm.
So, Crystal, I'm going to let you take the lead on this, because I think Mulan's probably your favorite Disney movie.
It is.
Or pretty close.
It is one of them.
Okay.
I love all the Disney princess movies, and Mulan's not technically a princess, I guess, but she's right up there with all.
She's not a princess, but she's included when the official Disney princesses.
The first,
which I've never understood, but whatever.
The live-action Mulan movie is. It was one of the best naps I've had for weeks. I really wanted to like this movie because I really do like the animated movie. And I know people are like, well, it's not historically accurate. There's things in there that are offensive, da-da-da-da. If you look at it at face value as a kid's movie, which is what I view Disney movies as, I don't look at them as, historically accurate things. I look at them as kids' movies. The animated Mulan movie is a really fun movie. I love Mushu. I love the music. I love it all.
For kids' movies, it's pretty much, is it entertaining?
Yes. Exactly. Cool. Yeah, that's me. I want to be entertained. I was not. I didn't. I think it was trying to be, I don't know if kitschy is the right word, but it had some good special effects, but then there were things I'm like, you could have done that so much differently and so much better. And then some of the lines, I was kind of like, really? Really? I have to go there.
If someone tries to complain about, well, the cartoon wasn't historically accurate, well, you better be complaining about the live action Mulan too, because y'all can't tell me that a movie where a witch literally turns into a bird and flies away is more historically accurate than the cartoon.
Oh my God.
Wait, come on.
We're going to set this part on the back burner, but let's not even get into the whole political aspect of the fact that they shot in areas that are historically maybe not the best areas to shoot in those areas. And then you want to talk about, I think it was you who actually brought up when we were, socially distancing together the other day, that, the whole idea of chi is not a magical power. Not a magical power.
There's a TikToker that I follow, Chef John Kung. He's of Asian descent, actually spent part of his childhood in Hong Kong. And he taught, when Mulan first came out, he was like, I didn't pay for it, but I watched it. That was when he made an entire TikTok dedicated to just their use of chi and how much it pissed him off.
Yeah.
Chi is not some magical power. It's just an energy inside of you.
I am not Chinese. I am as white can get. And
same
Caucasian descent, and I know what chi is supposed to mean, and I was just
that, like, ain't it,
really come on now,
like, why did you think we needed magic in this movie?
Well, and I know that in the animated series they kind of alluded to, like, the whole use of Mushu as a guardian, but that was really the only quote-unquote magic. And that movie was Mushu is the guardian, but I'm like, you could done without all the magic.
I would compare that more to like a guardian angel in a sense than straight up magic.
And my other thought is, and again, I fell asleep. I totally admit there are a good chunk of this movie that I missed. Why does the woman need the magic, and then the woman becomes a witch if she has this magical power? Like, I kind of feel like it's a little sexist.
It is, because they say that she is for warriors. Women aren't supposed to
they're supposed
to wield chi.
A woman is obviously a witch. Like,
so if a woman chooses, so if a woman chooses to wield chi, she's a witch and she's ostracized.
Right. Like, really, Disney? Like again, fell asleep. Probably missed a good chunk of that, but
one of the things I said is it took itself too seriously.
Yeah.
And so when it did attempt to use humor, it just didn't land properly.
Like, the parts I did see, like, you try and take yourself seriously, and then you have these lines that are really poorly written. I thought there was some really bad dialogue in this movie, personally, and I'm like, okay, I know Disney's got writers on their payroll. Like, they couldn't have looked at this and been like, no, let's fix that. Like, come on.
That's what was so great about the cartoon is that it's really a tale in two halves, because the first half is this lighthearted, it's funny, there's songs, everything's happy-go-lucky, okay, yeah, we're going. And then the second you end A Girl Worth Fighting For, and they see what the Huns did, which is the other thing that bothered me. Why did you change the villain? What happened to the Huns? But the second they see what the Huns did, the whole rest of the movie, there's no more songs, there's no more jokes. It's very serious. And it works.
Yeah.
And in this movie, it's like it couldn't decide which one it wanted to be. It's like it wanted to be serious, but they still tried to interject a few moments of humor, and it just didn't work.
I feel like this is a common theme with Disney's live action movies. Like, they can't decide what kind of movies they want to be. Mm-hmm. So they try and incorporate the original animated series, and then they try and do something different, but they can't quite decide. So they mash them together and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to interject into this?
It's my turn. Sorry, I spent all this time.
The women were talking.
No, you're good. You're good. So hold on. So I'm going to preface this by, I was reading there's more Disney news. We're getting a Fantastic Four movie and a new Ant-Man.
John Krasinski?
No announcement on cast yet, but I will care once we have John Krasinski.
Because I need the two of them to just, I need them. I need them together.
Yeah, if we don't have Emily Blunt, John Krasinski in this Fantastic Four movie, I don't care.
Since Chris Evans took Cap from John Krasinski, I need John Krasinski to take Cap's or Chris Evans character from him.
He's not gonna play Johnny Storm. Anyway, he's gonna play Reed Richards. Anyway, so when it comes to Mulan, the original isn't one of my favorite. Like, I like it. I think she's a great character. I am not what you would call attached to it by any stretch of the imagination. Just never have been. After watching the remake.
Meanwhile, to this day, I can't hear anyone say, let's get down to business without immediately going to defeat the Huns.
Yeah. And then I hear people say, I'll make a man out of you. You guys think of Mulan. I think of Rocky Horror Picture Show. So make of that what you will. Anyway, so we sat down to watch it. And my initial thought, was with the use of color, especially that opening sequence with young Mulan running around chasing a chicken on the rooftop, was this would have been awesome on a big screen. And I feel like we've harped on that a lot.
It was beautifully shot. It looks fantastic. Yeah. And that's one of the first things I said to you after I watched it. This is a very pretty movie that should have been seen on a big screen.
It should have. That being said, I didn't hate the movie. I actually generally liked it. I wouldn't say I loved it, but the thing I told you guys, and this is the first thing I think I told you, was it feels like it doesn't know what it wants to be, which mm-hmm. is something you guys touched on. And then I realized it feels like it was written by committee. Like, you threw a bunch of people in a room and said, okay, let's do this and this, and we'll pick and choose and do these things. And it turns out there's four writers on the script, and I have no idea who did what. So they're all getting the blame. And it's because, yeah, it feels like they took four different scripts and pieced it together into a Frankenstein's mm-hmm. monster.
Yeah, because sometimes it feels like almost a shot-for-shot remake, and then there's times that it's just way off in Never Never Land, and you're like, where is that coming from?
Right. Well, and I don't understand when they sit there and say, well, we wanted to make it more grounded, more realistic, this, that, and the other. And then you have Phoenixes and Witch Lady running around. And I'm going, yeah. Okay, so we were grounded how? Like,
yeah,
that's not, at that point, you might as well put Mushu in. Not that I am mad about them. I didn't mind them taking it and not doing a musical with it. I was totally okay with that.
Yeah, I don't mind it wasn't a musical.
Yeah.
But I feel like you traded one genre for another genre. That was
right.
Nothing like what you said you were trying to do with this movie.
Yeah.
Like, you said you were trying to make it more historically accurate. All of what I saw was none of it was historically accurate.
Right.
No.
Yeah, so
I'm still confused as to why they changed who was attacking China.
So,
and part of the reason it bothers me is because there's a lot of talk about how in the end of the cartoon, when I can't remember his name, the main Hun finds out that Mulan is a woman, he's just like, oh, you're a woman, and then moves on. People are like, well, the Huns were a very matriarchal society, so the women were warriors, and so he wouldn't have been fazed by the fact, okay, cool, there's a woman, whatever, moving on. And so then you change it, which is already mildly annoying, but then you not only changed it, you made the dude in charge of the invading group, whatever, super misogynistic. Like, the whole time he's like, yeah, you're a witch, he's like, you need me, no one's gonna accept you, you're just a woman. I'm like, man, why?
Yeah.
So yeah. So I think to answer your question though, as to why they did that, I think the Rorans, this ties back to the whole historical accuracy thing. I think the Rorans historically would have been the ones attacking the Chinese Empire at that point in time. To be fair, it is made up. The Rorans were included people from a lot of different ethnic groups, but their leaders were Mongols. And were originally controlled by white Huns. So you kind of get to have your cake and eat it too. You can be mad about it. I don't care. I'm just telling you, that's what I found.
Sorry, but I don't accept the historical accuracy argument when you included magic.
Like, I get that. I'm just saying that is probably what their defense would be.
You can prove to me there was a woman who turned into a bird in this time period and was witnessed. And proven, I'm not going to accept anyone who goes, well, we changed this for historical accuracy. Yeah. Obviously, you didn't care about historical accuracy.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, that's what it probably would have been, realistically. Anyway, so back to my thoughts on it. I didn't hate the movie. The cinematography was great, and the action sequences were top-notch. They were some of the best I'd seen in a while, and definitely pulled from films like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, those Chinese epics. And I feel like that's what they were going for in this while trying to add that Disney touch.
Well, they had made a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon-ish movie out of this, and like, that would have been fine.
Yeah.
The Disney touch, I think, didn't quite fit.
No. That's what I'm saying is that, again, it feels like it was written by committee, and that's what you got. Like, one person said, well, I'm writing it like this, and somebody else said, well, I'm going to try and write it closer to what Disney wants, and I'm just, somebody else going, well, I'm going to write it for historical accuracy, and somebody else going, I'm just high on shrooms, and I'm going to put the bird lady in there. Mm-hmm. And we just got a quarter of each, and that's it. So, like I said, I didn't hate it. It's not the worst of the Disney remakes by any stretch of the imagination, and I applaud them for trying to do something different with it. Will I go back and revisit it? Probably not. So.
One more thing about the Chi, and then we can move on.
Oh yeah, no, don't get me started on the Chi. I hate the Chi.
Part of the reason it bothers me so much is that Mulan in the cartoon wasn't necessarily special. She just was a bit of a tomboy and wanted to save her dad, And when she showed up, she sucked at everything, and she had to work hard and learn how to be a soldier. And in the live-action movie, they're like, well, she has very high chi, and she's just been hiding it. And then once this dude gives her permission, suddenly she's magically this great soldier because she has high chi. Like, it took away... They took away all of her hard work and just made it, well, she's just special. That's why she's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
I feel like they took away the whole point of the original Mulan, yes, which is that women can do anything men can do. We just have to put in as much work as everybody else.
It also helps if you use the force. I mean, the chi.
It didn't have the heart and soul of
the girl. No, it did not. I think that's what ticked me off the most is... I thought there was a lot of...
They took a very clinical approach to it.
Mushu or not, I love that character because he went there because he was trying to redeem himself, but he really, truly cared about Mulan.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Mulan was there to save her family, and I feel like they took away some of that Disney... The Disney magic was not in this movie.
Yeah, I think we've established that, so... but it hasn't been in a lot of these remakes, so, you know, it is what it is.
Happy they got Aladdin right at this point.
I will say, Aladdin, they probably got closer to right than Mulan, for sure. I liked
Beauty and the Beast, too.
Jungle Book. Jungle Book is the one that I straight up love. Like, and
Cinderella. I liked the Cinderella remake.
Yeah, the Cinderella remake was also good. Like,
I'm still salty about Lion King, though.
Yes. God, Lion King was so bad. Yeah. Anyway. All right, guys. So that's going to do it for us this week on My Drunk Movie Theater. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you follow us on Twitter @drunk_theater. We're going to keep continuing this conversation as far as like the Disney news goes today, because shit's still rolling out. Like, this, I don't know how long this event's going to go, but I'm already exhausted just thinking about it. But follow us there @drunk_theater on Twitter. You can also follow us on Facebook, My Drunk Movie Theater, on there. Feel free to write us, mydrunkmovietheater@gmail.com. If you want to support the show and support us and supplement our income, because my wife has four dogs to feed, and, you know, teespring.com/stores/MDMT. You can find all of our merch there. She needs a new pair of shoes, so please go buy something.
Yeah, I need a lot of things.
It's good Christmas shopping for all your movie theater friends too. So in addition to that, I had saveyourcinema.com. Continue writing and going after your elected officials. Let them know. The theater industry, the live music industry, every venue across the nation needs help. Let them know that we need to get a bill passed that will help us. So that's it. For all of us here at My Drunk Movie Theater, I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And Crystal.
I'm Crystal Sutton.
And be nice to your damn movie staff.